Into the Word of God. We have two scripture texts this morning, both found in the Old Testament. One is found in Deuteronomy 4, verses 8 to 9, Deuteronomy 4, verses 8 to 9, and the other is found in the book of Joshua, Joshua 1 and verse 9. Joshua 1 and verse 9. Give you a chance to find these scriptures. Okay. It's no different than regular Sunday. The choir never sits right down. Some do, some of them just, they go out and do whatever they do after they sing. And then they finally make their way back. So that's what I'm waiting for, everybody to make their way back here. One thing I did notice here again, if you can write a paper on society for a college paper, I've noticed that some of you are a little late in logging in, but again, it's no different than some of you being late for service. So there's a lot of things that carry through here. There's a sociology project here somewhere, but it'll never get done by me. Maybe some of you that are going to college right now. Deuteronomy 4, verses 8 to 9. Deuteronomy 4 and verses 8 to 9. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And then over in Joshua, Joshua 1 and verse 9, Joshua 1 and verse 9, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Over its 243-year existence, you know it'll soon be in July the 4th, it'll be 244 years. Our country's 243 years old and counting. Over its 243-year existence, America's strength, courage, and genius has been called upon to meet challenges, to excel in time of adversity, and to defeat its enemies. These traits, plus a trust in the Almighty God, have made it the greatest republic the world has ever known. Now, let me discuss another great nation, a holy nation, the Church of God. From the day of Pentecost in 33 AD through this present time, the Church of God and God's people have met challenge after challenge, excelled in times of adversity, and went forward conquering the foe. In every age, the Church of God has faced difficult times and has been asked to do difficult things. Brother and sister, it will be strength, courage, genius, and that same unbreakable trust in the Almighty that will bring us through and make this time another testimony for God's church. The title of our message this morning, The Qualities of a Great Nation. The Qualities of a Great Nation. I was all set to go pretty much last night. Just needed to clean up my outline a little bit and move something here and move something there and maybe add a scripture or two. And I went to prayer this morning. I went to prayer this morning and in my study at home. And I said, Lord, I just want to be able to best make this practical, to best carry my burden out to the people, to best carry your burden out to our people here in Conoco-Nessing. I got up from prayer and I went to my computer and my outline. And there is much of what I'm preaching this morning that I had prepared. But there's a great portion, that which God gave me this morning that he wanted. So we're glad for that, glad God still can touch our heart, glad we still have that communication with the Lord. And it is an assurance, saints, to know that God still cares about us. Amen. And he's going to take care of our needs. And this is fresh from the Lord this morning. Amen. This goes beyond just what I thought the Lord wanted, which I'm still sure he does. But he added something new, okay? Fresh off the presses of heaven. We live in a great, great nation. Greatest republic that has ever been known in the history of the world. And there's been times it's been assaulted and attacked. Been times it's faced a plague, a pestilence, all sorts of things such as that. But it has been these qualities that have always brought us through, and I believe they will bring our nation through at this time. Over the past several years, over the past several decades, there's been powers in high places that have sought to undermine what we believe, what we've been taught as a nation. Undermine our Constitution, take away our liberties, take away even our freedom of worship and the freedom to assemble. But we're still here. And it's those things that we hold dear as Americans that we continue to hold on to and will see us through this present crisis. But as the Church of God, we're still here. The gates of hell have never prevailed against the church. The gates of hell will never prevail against the church. We have God's own promise. Amen. Church of God is still alive. It's still strong. It's still going forth conquering and to conquer, following the one that sits on that white horse with the bow in his hands. And we all know, because of our study in Revelation many times, we know what that bow is. Amen. The promises of God. There are qualities which are very distinct, and there are qualities which are very important. And saints of God, it is of the utmost importance for us to have our pure mind stirred up and remember these things, not only that make us a great nation, but these things that make us and keep us God's beautiful and wonderful church. Let's go over to Deuteronomy once again. And we're going to begin reading in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 5. A great nation keeps what it has been taught. A great nation keeps what it has been taught. Can we go back to school? Can we go back to our elementary school days and our junior high school days, our senior high school days? And each one of us can make that trip back in our minds to the era in which we were being educated in our public school systems. We can go back and consider the things we were taught. We can see the flag on the right side, or it'd be the left side. I'm envisioning it in my mind, the left side of the chalkboard. We can see it hanging there. We can see all of us in the classroom standing up, hands upon our hearts, reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Some of us were going to school at the time where we were allowed to bow our head and offer a silent prayer, and some of us went to school where even the teacher would read a passage from God's Word. We were taught about government. We were taught about our Constitution. We were taught about freedom, and we are given that thought of patriotism. And it was more than a thought. It was something that possessed our very being. And it's very unique to us as Americans. I remember traveling many years ago when I was working for York International. My wife and I had the privilege to go with York International to Australia. And in talking to some people, some Australians, they had remarked about the thought of patriotism that is so prevalent in every American's life. That's something we're taught. That's something that is just ingrained in us. And you know where it comes from? It is like the scripture that I read as a text in Deuteronomy. I'm going to read it again. It's passed on from son to son, from father to father, or from father to son, from that son to the next son, the thought of patriotism. This is a great nation. Did the president need to tell us that? No, we knew it. We knew that. But the president was needed to bring it to the forefront again so that we don't have to cower in the corner and feel embarrassed and feel like we're pariahs in society because we're patriots at heart. Well, dear ones, we need to stir up our pure minds. We know the Church of God is great. And we know that it has met challenges after challenge. And we know that the Church of God has risen to every occasion, every adversity. And we know, amen, as long as we as God's people follow that white horse, we will go on conquering and to conquer. And the gates of hell will never prevail against us. We know that. But God's given us pastors, God's given you a pastor to stand up and to remind us and to let us know that we don't have to cower in the corner during this present crisis. And we can stand up and be counted. And we can stand up and proclaim, amen, that God will see us through. I hope you had opportunity to look at the Butler Eagle yesterday, the advertisement that we had in the Butler Eagle. And then that same ad will become a billboard, and I believe in this week, if not this week, the first and next, it'll be in the billboard coming out of Evans City. We have something to proclaim. We have something to proclaim in this time of adversary, the adversity, this time of crisis. Amen. We have the peace of God. We don't need to be afraid. In fact, instead of just having the peace and not being afraid, amen, we need to show forth, amen, courage. And we need to show forth our strength. And we need to show forth our genius and our unbreakable trust in God. Now, that word genius may have you scratching your heads and saying, Brother Carnes, what do you mean by that? We'll get into that. We'll get into this, okay? As we begin to read and exhort from Deuteronomy 4, verses 5 to 9. Again, I want you to remember, a great nation keeps what it has been taught, and it keeps its soul. As America, if we keep what we've been taught, we will keep our soul. We will keep our soul, we will keep our patriotism, we'll keep our values, we'll keep our morality, we'll keep God in his rightful place, we'll hallow life, amen, we will be kind and considerate, we will be liberal as far as our giving and our compassion, we will be a defender of justice, a defender of freedom, not only at home but abroad, like we've always been. But bring that over to the great nation, the holy nation, which is the Church of God, the spiritual Israel. We need to keep what we've been taught. We're blessed to be taught. Even though we can't worship here this morning, even though I have just seven sitting in the pew and another two back at the sound board this morning. You folks assembled at your home, we're privileged. I am so grateful we can have these technical advances in our nation, in our country, in our congregation, that we can reach out to you at home in this time and be reminded what we've been taught. You don't have to be reminded that the church of God is great. You already know that. You don't have to be reminded, amen, about the great gift of salvation. So great salvation, as it says in God's word. You don't have to be reminded of that or have to be told that. You know that. But these things need to be brought to the forefront during this time. And if we keep hold of what we've been taught, brother, sister, listen to me out there. Listen to me. Some of you need to gird up the loins of your mind. Because your pressures and your trials and your tests and the workers of Satan, which some of them are of your own families, they would work to take you down. They would work to depress you. They would work to cause you to give up your salvation. And who wins when that happens? They win. The devil wins. You lose. You need to gird up the loins of your mind. You need to remember what you've been taught. And if you can remember what you've been taught, if you can keep a hold of what you've been taught, you will keep a hold of your soul. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. It's a very simple command here. But has this ever changed? Has this command from God ever changed? Of course it hasn't changed. Keep therefore the things you've been taught. Amen. The statutes, the judgments, the things that the Lord have commanded. Amen. The leadership to teach the people. Amen. Saints, keep therefore and do those things. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. Enter genius. Enter the word genius. No, you don't have to be a genius to be saved. But I'll tell you, the knowledge that comes to someone who has been saved and someone who's been able, amen, to get into the deep things of God, amen, to search out the scriptures, amen, what knowledge comes, amen, what ability to understand and rightly divide the word of God, that in itself is spiritual genius. Our country's always been blessed with genius, amen, to solve problems, to create vaccines and invent and devise and use that genius, amen, to be able to fight its foes and combat, pestilence and sickness and things such as that. It's been brought out in articles, and I discussed this with my wife the other day. When we were growing up, there was always the concern of every season there was a concern of certain flus. There was the dread of measles, German measles. Some of you out there today in your homes, you're shaking your head up and down. You grew up the same time as I did, or close to it. German measles. It was a dread. It was a concern. Some of us had them. They went around every year. Mumps every year. Those childhood diseases. You don't hear about that much today. Why? Because of genius. Amen. We didn't call it self-quarantined. We just called it being shut away in your bedroom with the blinds pulled and the curtains drawn, and you weren't allowed in a place of lightness. You had a brightness. You had to stay in the dark. You remember those times? You know what? Another scourge of our age when we were growing up, polio. Polio. It was a fear. It was a dread. It was a dread upon our population. Polio. But the genius, the American genius, found a cure for that. Some of us remember having to go get vaccinations. Some of us wear the scars of those vaccinations. Sister Sally's pointing to her arm, her upper arm. Some of us wear the scars of our vaccinations. Those are perils that we faced. Our parents had fear of. For us, their children, their infants, their toddlers, their babies. Every year. But American genius brought cures, brought serums, vaccinations, vaccines. There's a genius within the church. And it's not what goes on between our ears. It's the knowledge that God gives us and the ability to divide the word and to understand the scripture, to be able to look into the secret things of God. That is a spiritual. It's not on our own, saints. All glory be to God, the Holy Ghost, who will lead us and guide us into what? All truth. That's what makes us different as this great and holy nation, the Church of God. We are unlike any other church. We are unlike any other people. You say, Brother Carnes, you're bragging. No, if I'm bragging, I'm bragging on God. Amen. I'm stating, amen, what is very true. Keep therefore and do them, verse 6 of Deuteronomy 4. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom. Amen. This is your wisdom. Do the truth. There's where your wisdom will be shown. That's where it will manifest. This is your understanding in the sight of the nations. This is what the world will see. This is what the world will see. Wouldn't it be wonderful through all this that we're facing right now? Wouldn't it be wonderful that once again, American genius, research, and innovation rises to the occasion and saves the whole world? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Now you're talking like an American. Hallelujah, praise God, salute the flag, jump up and down a few times. It's a grand old flag. Absolutely. Why not? Why not? I'm sorry, I really don't need to yell. I only have 7 people sitting in front of me. But I'm preaching. I'm taken by this that God laid on my heart after prayer this morning in my study at home. I said, Lord, that's exactly what I need. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. And God in heaven, you know what he says? I know. That's my genius, son. That's my genius. Amen. That's my genius. My genius will carry your burden today and maybe make you look halfway good this morning, that you really have something to offer the people. Thank you, Lord, it's your genius, an all-knowing God, a Holy Spirit that can be accessed in a basement study that will lead and guide us into all truth, that cares about us. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them? Is he close to you? Some of you have been drifting. You know how I know you're drifting? Because how you've been thinking. How you've been thinking. What kind of thoughts you've been entertaining. You're drifting. You need to get close to God. Amen. Develop a meaningful prayer life and you'll be successful. Where have you heard that before? Last Wednesday. Fail to develop a meaningful prayer life and you'll fail. You'll backslide. You need to get closer to God. How do you do that? On your knees. Before the Lord. Amen. You'd be surprised what a good prayer will do to clear up your thinking. Keep you on the right track. Amen. The way called right. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things? that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Verse 9. Now listen. I have this in bold and underline in my outline. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thyself diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Saints of God, you're not here. You're at home. But I expect you to be the church. I expect you, amen, to still be alive and well. I expect you to still be working. I expect you to still be you're doing your devotions, praying, reading, teaching, instructing, helping. Man, yes, we're limited. Yes, we're limited. One of the prayer requests that came in after 9:45 this morning was to remember souls. Another topic that my wife and I have discussed. Another topic that my wife was concerned about. Someone else sent the request. There's not going to be any more altar calls. Songs of invitation for a while. No altar calls. No chance, amen, for those that are unsaved, amen, to be saved, to get to an altar here. This is the convenient place. Some of you have really put yourself in a precarious situation. Some of you young and some of you that are old. You've put yourself in a precarious situation. I want you to be sober. I want you to think about this. No songs of invitation. No altar call. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're seeing in your mind right now. You're seeing that wooden altar that's right in front of me. You're seeing it. You're looking at it in your mind, but you can't kneel at it. And some of you have got to the place you've hardened yourself against the call of God so many times that you missed your last opportunity. That would have been last Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday evening. You missed your last opportunities. And now when will the next opportunity arise that we can gather together? That we can have a song of invitation and a formal altar call. When will that next time be? Who knows? Who knows? God have mercy on the sinner. But you can't say that God's put you in that spot. You put yourself in that position. Take heed to thyself. Saint of God, Church of God at Conequenessing, take heed to thyself. Brother, sister, take heed to yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of your spirit, get a hold of your mind. Keep thy soul diligently. What does that mean? Work out your salvation every day with fear and trembling. Get before God. This is a time to pray. This is time, amen, to be careful, obviously, when it comes to hygiene and social distancing and things such as that. But when has it never been the time, amen, to keep our souls? We ought to give as much diligence always to our souls as we're given diligence to keeping our hygiene and our homes clean and social distancing. Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. You talk about distancing. Shouldn't we keep our souls at all time? Amen. Keep your soul diligently. Get before God. Quit talking so much of the world being cast down and coming under a spirit of fear. And that's where some of you are this morning. You're carrying a heavy load, that you ought not to carry. The word tells us, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. And the more you get around the world and commiserate and how horrible it is, amen, instead of showing them and manifesting to them the peace that God has given to you, you're swept up with the fear, swept up with the dread. You're not able to give reason of the hope that lies within you. You become dumb. Your tongue becomes dumb. You can't speak like God would have you to. Verse 9 tells us, lest we forget the things that our eyes have seen. What have we seen? Huh? What have we seen? What have we heard? Do you remember? You need never forget. I'm doing my best to remind you, these folks that are sitting in front of me this morning, amen, like the ones that were here on Wednesday and the ones that will be here tonight, are doing their part to keep, amen, us in remembrance, to keep the judgments and the statutes before us, to keep us encouraged, to keep us hopeful. Amen. We need to have some hope given to us. Man, if all you're fixated on, amen, if all has grabbed your attention, our number of people stricken with this and the number of people have died, where's the hope in that? Where's the hope in that? Well, Brother Carnes, Butler County had its first case. Yeah, well, is that surprising? There'll probably be several more before it's all over. There may even be some people that die because of this in Butler County. Is that surprising? Is that what we're going to fill our minds with? Is that what we have to share with everybody else? Share with the brethren? Amen. Do we have to share all the numbers and all the details and the body counts? And how horrible things are in Italy? You need to get your mind on the things of God. You need to take heed to yourself. You need to keep your soul diligently. Lest you forget the things which thine eyes have seen. I've saw better things. I see Zion. I've walked about her. I'm walking about her this morning. I feel the Spirit of God upon me. I'm in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And you're not here. But the Spirit of God is here and I feel Him in my soul. And I feel an emboldening as I preach. I would say, amen, as the quartet sang a couple Wednesdays ago, I've been with Jesus. Takes you getting more with Jesus and less with the world. I don't want to forget the things that I've seen. I've seen too much. Amen. Amen. I've seen too much. I've been around here for decades. I've been in this beautiful great nation, this holy nation, the Church of God, for decades. I've seen so much. But yet, the half has yet to be told. Well, praise the Lord. Yet the half has yet to been told. That's the way this is. Lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. I'll say that again. Who wins if that happens? The devil. Your unsaved relatives. The world. Your enemies. I told you there was nothing in it. See? They didn't stay saved. Where's their God now? You show them where your God is. You show them that He lives within your heart. What are we doing, saints? What are we doing at home? Amen. Most of us are at home during the day. I'm glad for those of you that still have jobs, brothers and sisters, and able to work out of the home. Whole different dynamic has been set up in your home in these last couple weeks. We're going to deal with that. This gospel, it's already practical. We're going to make it more practical. A whole different dynamic. You know it as well as I do. How am I going to get through this? I saw a picture this week. Parents sitting at their computer terminal doing work. Three children laying on the floor, gagged and bound. Another comment on our society. When this thing is all over, I'd be interested to see if divorces are up and homicides. Neither needs to happen, saints. Neither needs to happen. Amen. If it's been in your mind, amen, to pull out that roll of duct tape, put it back. Put it back. And if any of you that are here come to the altar, I'm not going to deal with you today. What do? We make hay out of this. We use it to our advantage. We get structured. Amen. There has to be a new structure brought in to take care of this new dynamic. So we put a new structure in our home. And through it all, we teach. We teach our sons, we teach our daughters. We teach our sons' sons, we teach our daughters' daughters. We teach. There are things that can make the strong weak and cause the weak to be destroyed. There are things that can make the strong weak, and there are things that can cause the weak to be utterly destroyed. Consumed. The fact we are not able to assemble regularly for worship and other activities that we enjoy so much is one of those things. Are you going to allow it to weaken you, those of you that are strong? Are you going to allow it to destroy you, those of you that have gone into this weakened? And some of you have. Are you going to allow it to consume you? Are you going to allow it to destroy you? And those of you that are strong, those of you that are perceived to be pillars, are you going to allow this time to weaken you? Or are you going to use it as God would have you to? Are you going to keep those statutes? Are you going to keep those judgments? Are you going to keep those things which the Lord have commanded that you should do? Are you going to keep them, therefore, and do them? Amen. Is it going to be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of this nation in which we live? Are you going to keep your soul diligently? Are you going to remember? Are you going to remember? You don't have to be at 1247 Evans City Road to walk around Zion, folks. It's nice to be here when the glory falls. And I'm preaching on the church, and the saints are responding, and you see me walking up the center aisle and along the side aisles, walking about Zion, telling amen of her bulwarks and the fortresses and all those things. We all rejoice, but you don't have to be here to walk around Zion. You've seen her. You remember. We don't have to mourn. We don't have to repine. Amen. The walls have not fallen in. They don't lie as shambles. We don't need a Nehemiah to come and rebuild them. Thank God the walls of Zion are strong. The walls, amen, are salvation. We have a strong palace. We have a strong refuge. Praise the Lord. Amen. We can tell of her palaces. She's a refuge for us. That's what we need to do. If we do those things and we watch out for our souls, amen, if we work out our salvation diligently, then those that are strong will remain strong. And those that are weak will become stronger instead of becoming weaker, instead of becoming destroyed. Those things. There are many things. Many things that will take the strength away from a saint of God. Many things. Many things that will destroy the weak. We talk about them. We talk about them all the time. We already used the scripture, love not the world, neither the things in the world. The world will destroy us. How many times have we talked about the cell phone? How many times have I used that example? How close are you to the world? How many times have I pointed to my pocket or to my belt? Wherever you hold, wherever you keep your phone, that's how close we are to the world. Now it's come to my knowledge that the schools are finally getting after some things after a week or so off, and they've decided that they need to get some education out to the children. So to do that, they're going to be on the internet. To do that, that's the way it's going to have to be done. Many homes in this congregation already have the internet. And if you don't have it, you're going to have to get it so your kids can be instructed. It's just the way it is. It's obvious. But as the kids are home, as your home mom, as your home dad, you can't be drawn to the world through the internet. I don't have anything else to do with my time. You have a lot of things to do with your time. Amen. Don't use that liberty of the internet in your home as an occasion to the flesh. Use it for something that is purposeful. Use it for something that will help. Your kids need that education. I'm glad, amen, the educators are finally doing something to instruct our children. And that's the means by which they'll do it. I heard that the Butler School District will be using 680 AM WISR through the week to get curriculum and teaching out to the students in the Butler School District. I'm glad they can do that. Every one of you need to be tuned in. Amen. Well, I don't have to go to work. You do have to go to work. If you got a job and work from home, you got to go to work. So you don't become a sack hound. You don't become used to sleeping until 10 or 11 in the morning. That will cause the strong to grow weak. And it'll cause the weak to be destroyed. Amen. Amen. You ask some in the congregation who have been laid off. If they'd like to be getting up at 6 in the morning and go off to work, and they'll tell you, yes, I wish it was that way with me right now. But some it isn't because of the situation. You get up and get after things. Get your children up, get after things. Get after their schoolwork, get after the homework. Get after the spiritual work. Sister Carnes been carrying a burden that our children, just not the outreach children, but our children have spiritual material in their hands. I believe she ran some things off this morning. They need to get in the hands of our kids. Amen. You need to teach them. You need to teach them. Sure, there are things that can weaken us. But again, we're not ignorant to the enemy's devices. You've been told over and over again, just do not use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Oh, I can sleep in. You got to be careful. I've got so much time, I can just surf the web. You better be careful. I can wear out this cell phone. You better be careful. Amen. Amen. Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. How long have I been preaching back there, audio people? 44 minutes, is that all? Okay. You know, we started at 11. I'm looking at the clock. That's why I got an extra 15 minutes to work with here. So, all right. Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. Our second text that we used this morning. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's still a promise. We still have that, saints. We can be assured of it. Amen. No time for us to be cowards. No time for us, amen, to be weak. No time for us to hide in the corner somewhere just because we are spending a lot more time at home for obvious reasons. Amen. That doesn't necessarily make us cowards. We have to practice social responsibility. But we need never forget the thought that he will be with us, and he'll never fail us, and he'll never forsake us. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. I'm telling you, God was making a way for this nation, this people, to be a great nation. And what were the requirements? Requirements were as they had always been. Keep my statutes. Keep my laws. Obey me. Obey me, and I'll make you a great people. Be strong. Be courageous. Be very courageous. We're back to this thought of strength. We're back to this thought of courage. We are back to this thought of genius, which comes through the knowledge of God's word and obedience to his laws. And then we're back to that thought of an unbreakable trust in the Almighty God. That's the way it's always been, saints. Amen. That's the way it's always been. Verse 8, this book is the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Amen. These weeks we're not going to be together. These services that we're missing assembling together. Just because we're not together does not mean we should let those things that we have heard and seen and those things we've been assured of, we shouldn't let those depart out of our mouth. We shouldn't let them depart out of our heart. Amen. This is a time of proving. Time of proving. When this is all said and done, do you still want to be standing? Amen. When the dust settles, do you and your household still want to be located and counted for God? Amen. I heard a story recently from Brother Jeff. He was telling a story where he's on the Youghiogheny over at Ohio Pile. He and a couple of the other brothers, Brother John Klein was with them. They were in a raft going down the Youghiogheny. They hit some hard rapids. Those of you that have ever been on that river shooting some of those bad rapids, you can understand. They hit some bad rapids, and the whole raft overturned. And Brother Jeff was trapped underneath the raft, going through these rapids. And he had to get out. And he finally got out, and he looked around. He couldn't find Brother John Klein. Couldn't find him. Well, what sets in? Well, you're already panicking for yourself. I've been there. I've been in those situations. That situation. Not there at that time, but similar. You're panicking for yourself, but then your concern, okay, goes to someone else. And after you recover and are fairly safe, then you start looking around for your companions. And Brother Jeff, he come out from under the raft, and he felt fairly secure, fairly safe. And he looked around for Brother John Klein, couldn't find him. Somebody you care about, a friend, somebody you love, a companion. He looked around, it wasn't there. Dread, concern. Oh, Lord, don't let it be the worst. Don't let it be the worst. When this is all done, saints, when this is all done, when we get through this rapid and this river of life, when this history has been logged in the books and we come out the other side of it, I want to see everybody standing. I don't want any of you to have the testimony, she failed. He gave up. The whole family's gone. No, it wasn't the virus that took them. Their hearts failed them because of fear. Their hearts failed them because they wouldn't stay close to God. When this is all done, amen, I want to look around this congregation. I want to see everybody in their place. Your places are empty right now. But once we're allowed to assemble again, when it's the right thing to do at the right time, I want to see everybody in their place with victory. And I'll tell you, that first service back, it ought to be a rejoicing time. It ought to be a great time. Amen. Thy children have gathered home. And the Spirit of God will come. You know, it won't be because, amen, he suddenly comes down out of the ceiling. You know why the Spirit of God will be here? Because we'll bring him with us. We'll come shouting and rejoicing home to Zion. And perhaps some of you that don't shout will shout. And some of you that never stand will stand. And some of you who never clapped your hands may clap your hand. Because you realize what a great thing we have here, and it was taken away from us for a space of time. But my point is, I want to see you still standing. Don't let these things depart out of your mouth. Don't let these things depart out of your heart. Observe to do according to all that is written. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Brother Carnes, can this be a prosperous time? I believe it can. Amen. Believe it can. Might not be measured in a job. Your prosperity might not be measured in a job or an income. But you can measure it, amen, in the growth of your soul. You can. I believe you can. And then thou shalt have a good success. Have good success. Aren't we desirous of success? Have not I commanded thee, verse 9, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid. He's telling us again, be strong, be of good courage, be very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Are you dismayed? Are you dismayed in this current distress? Are you? My door's not opening for anyone, Brother Carnes. It's staying closed. In fact, I asked someone to come over and put 4 more deadbolts on my door. You know, the deadbolts aren't going to keep the virus out. I don't mean to alarm you, But if you look at the crack underneath your door right now, they're crawling under it to get you. You got to live normally as much as possible. Let me put it this way. Live normal as much as lieth within you. How's that? Don't be dismayed. My door's not opening. I'm sealing it off. No one's getting out. Ian, I'm not getting out. I'm not going out. Come on, let's be reasonable. Be strong. Be of good courage. Act normal. Be not afraid. Don't be dismayed. Spend some time with God. Be an example. Let the nations, amen, around you, amen, let the others around you look upon you and see how you're handling it with faith, with victory, amen, with courage, with strength, with genius, because you understand the things of God. Let them see your unbreakable trust in the Almighty God. That's what makes us great. Those things are what makes us great. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Take it. Believe it. It's a promise. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. We're doing our best to get the gospel to you, saints. I can't thank those that are responsible for getting this streamed out to you. The audio people and the streaming service, the website, the app. I can't thank them enough. We're getting the gospel out to you. Doing our best. The gospel is important. It is a rule to every one of our lives. It's a rule. It's what we need to follow in times like this. It'll be a guide to us in times like this. Joshua had the law of Moses, did he not? He had the law of Moses. That's what he was told to follow, the statutes and the judgments. Amen, the law of Moses. Man, we have the whole gospel. We have Old Testament, New Testament. We live under the Holy Ghost dispensation, a wonderful dispensation. Thank the Lord. We can understand. We can see. Amen. Amen. We can live holy lives without sacrifice. We know what it is to live with victory. Man, this gospel is a rule to our life. And it's a privilege to be able to hear from it. It's a privilege to hear the gospel preached. Faith cometh, by hearing, and that by the word of God. This should help us this morning. This should set our minds. This should get us to give up some of our fears and our doubts. We should be able to be more steady in our walk with God. It's good to read from God's word. Amen. We have the whole gospel. And it requires from each of us, saints, it requires from us a practical, loving, and continuous obedience. A practical obedience. We'll get into this. We'll get into this new dynamic in our homes. Because honestly, I don't want to oversimplify this. But this new dynamic we're dealing with in our homes, it can either make us or it can break us. If the home is not strong, if the marriage isn't strong, if the children are out of, if the marriage has not been strong, if the children have been out of order, if the home hasn't been led and directed by the gospel, if you've not been obedient to what I've preached, if you've not sought for counsel on a regular basis and obeyed that counsel with love, then this could break you. But if you have done those things that I've just mentioned, this will just be a continuation and you'll prosper. Amen. Your home will prosper. Your marriage will prosper. You'll be able to deal with this new dynamic. You'll be able to deal with the fact that your husband never goes anywhere anymore. You want him to go away, but he's there. Man. Some of you sisters say, my husband can still go out to work. I'm so glad. You probably are. You probably are. I'm not going to say who's saying amen here. I want them to go home to peaceful homes. But that's not the case. Some of you have seen your husbands for a week and a half, 2 weeks, maybe longer now. Maybe longer. Sister Rachel has seen her husband forever. Forever. The gospel is our rule of faith. It's the rule of our life. And if it requires from every one of us practical, loving, and continual obedience. And if we obey it, amen, we'll prosper under it. But see, some of you are having to change things because you didn't do it going into this crisis. And now you got to catch up. Another term for 2020, another phrase, flattening the curve. You need to flatten the curve when it comes to obeying God's word. You didn't do it before. The home wasn't strong before. Wasn't full of love. The marriage wasn't what it ought to have been. Children are unruly. You haven't given due diligence to your soul, up and down like a yo-yo. No joy, no happiness. We go into this crisis. Some of you have gone into this crisis weak, disobedient, no love, not knowing how to practically apply this word. You got to flatten the curve. You're going to have to catch up. Because if you don't catch up, it'll destroy you. And those of you that have a practice, and I would say most of you in this congregation are practicing this the way you should. And you can prosper under this, and you can get through it. Amen. And you don't have to be at each other. And you can continue to have a strong love. Amen. And everybody can stay in their place. Endeavor to go forward and to lay hold to something in one's walk with God. Go forward. Are you determined to go forward? Are you going to be strong? Are you going forward? Or are you going to go back? I can't take it anymore. I'm giving up. The pressures are too hard. I can't take it anymore. I got to give up. The persecution's too great. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to give up. To be strong is to make endeavor to go forward and to lay hold of something in one's walk with God. Do you have a goal? My goal is heaven. Of course it is. We all want to get there. Paul talks about that crown that was laid out for him that he was going to obtain. We're all going there. But don't we have some goals while we're living? Don't we have spiritual goals while alive? Amen. It is to take up a certain position in practical obedience and to state clearly, I stand for and by the gospel of Christ. State clearly, individually. Amen. I stand for and I stand by this gospel of Christ, which is a guide to my life. State clearly in your home. Listen. Listen. Men of God, heads of households, you're not there all the time. But now you are. Can't change it. But before things get out of control, before you get out of control, you stand and you say, this house is going to stand for the gospel and it's going to stand by the gospel. You wives who are used to everything going in a certain order because your husband's not there. Your husband's order and your order are usually two different orders. Two different ways. You think differently. Don't make your husband feel like an idiot because he doesn't do things your way. Don't you lose patience. Don't you say, will you just get out of my way? Will you get out of my hair? I can't wait till you go back to work. I can't wait till the children go back to school. Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of your tongue. Get a hold of your mind. Quit making your husband feel like he's not wanted in his own house. Quit making feel like your children, your making your children feel like they're not loved or not or needed. And you woman, you sister, stand up and state to yourself, declare it, amen. State clearly, I stand for the gospel and I stand by the gospel of Christ. And yes, husband, I'm with you. And together we'll stand for this gospel. And together our home will stand by the gospel of Christ through this time. To be of good courage is to maintain that position against the force of temptation and the opposition of every kind. It is to say firmly, here, I shall stand. I will not yield from this position. We will not yield. We will not yield. We're standing right here. Amen. That makes a great people. That makes a great nation. Amen. That's the church of God. We will not, amen, yield from this position. Living such a life in this evil world will certainly meet with great opposition. Silent opposition, you know what that's about. And sometimes very much declared. They demonstrate against us. It will require a great deal of strength and courage from every one of us, if we're going to stay firm and faithful during this time. But remember God's promise. I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Strength, courage, genius, and unbreakable trust in the Almighty God will see us through, saints. It has seen his church through from AD 33 till this present time, and he's not about to fail us. God help us to be true to him. We'll continue with these thoughts tonight if it's God's will. So we'll be streaming again at 6 o'clock.